Welcome back. It's our number two of Garden Talk Live at KSRO in Santa Rosa, California, since we've been talking about roses the last few minutes. Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher, very glad that you decided to choose us to keep you company this morning. You can join us anytime during the next hour simply by calling us at 636-1350 and sharing your garden experiences, or if you have garden travails and problems, we will hopefully solve those for you. That is one of the reasons the show exists. Share information with the garden-loving listeners out there in Radio Land at 636-1350. Nobody on hold, which is nice. We didn't carry over any calls from the previous hour, so we can start fresh. If you'd like a word with Gwen Kilcher, who co-writes the popular Plant Doctor column in our local Press Democrat newspaper, first and third Saturdays of every single month with Dana Lozano. They've written that column for close to 30 years, answering thousands of questions. 636-1350. You can tap Gwen's encyclopedic knowledge. She also farms her 2.5 acres a little north of Santa Rosa. Master Gardener, has taught many classes at the Sonoma County Library Master Gardener series. Also was the buyer for Callaway's Nursery. Those of you that have been around for 20-plus years remember the old Callaway's Nursery out on Highway 12. 636-1350. If you would rather just shoot us an email, if it's just a quick, easy question we can answer, steve@ksro.com. For example, here is an email question. It's a comment. Good morning. I just wanted to share with the listeners and you, after being very diligent using Sluggo, finally, I'm happy to report that my Italian sweet basil plants are fine and growing. I had one that was completely gone. I guess that's not too bad of odds. So are slugs and snails and basil just made for each other?
Oh, they love those. They must be Italian.
it's Italian basil.
Oh, yeah. The slugs and snails are Italian, so they like it. Yeah, they do eat it, and you'll see lots of pieces of leaves missing. You know, chunks are gone as they crawl up the stem and eat away. And I think slugs more than snails go after the basil. Okay. But I personally, if I was going to use Sluggo around edibles, I would get a heavy-duty piece of cardboard and lay it flat on the ground next to the plants and put a rock on it or something, or some pin to keep the cardboard there.
Or maybe a little toilet paper roll.
Toilet paper roll would work, yeah. And put the Sluggo on that. And instead of putting it on the ground next to the vegetables, just because...
A little extra bit of safety.
Yeah. All right. You know, why put all this stuff right on the ground where it disintegrates and goes into the roots? And they say it's safe to use around vegetables, you know, all your edibles and this and that.
What is it? Iron sulfate?
Iron sulfate is the attractant, but I don't know what the inert ingredients are. Yeah. So, you know, but, you know, how often do you use it? That's right. So, but if you are, you know, careful about what you eat and what you do in your garden and stuff, that's a good thing to do.
Oh, wonderful. 636-1350, if you would like a word with us. We talked about aromatic, beautiful, heavenly scents. You had mentioned during the break that you have mock orange.
And yes.
Mock orange is one of my all-time favorite scented flowers. How easy or difficult is it to grow around here?
Well, let's first tell everybody that the thing with common names is that there are many genuses of plants that use the same common name. So you'll find Pittosporum. There is one that's called mock orange. That's like Wheeler's Dwarf, I think, is the variety, which has a little clusters of white flowers, and they smell very nice. Then you have Choicia ternata, which is Mexican mock orange.
Choicia.
Something like that. Yeah. That's a nice shade-loving plant. And that has similar flowers to the Pittosporum, and they smell beautiful, and that's also called mock orange. Then you have the Philadelphus genus, which are deciduous shrubs, and there's lots of different varieties out there, all different shapes and sizes, different shaped flowers. There's single-petaled, there's double-flower-petaled. You know, they're short and tall and fat, skinny, and all kinds of them. The most fragrant, though, I think, is the Philadelphus CORD coronatus or something that begins with a C. And it's mock orange. They get pretty big. Mine is probably about 8 to 10 feet tall, and they grow like, if anybody's familiar with like forsythia or like butterfly bush. They have they send up the shoots everywhere, and they have the nice green flowers. And then at this time of the year, they'll send out, start producing all those flowers. And they just perfume the air. The more you have, the more perfume you have. And you can do some pruning on them in the wintertime, but like everything else, I don't do. I have never pruned mine, and they're probably going on 15 plus years.
And they're really in full bloom right now.
Full bloom. Well, yeah. I think they were in full bloom last week, so I think they're kind of slowly shutting down. But if you have a spot in your yard where it's full sun, a good drainage, and you don't mind a plant that will lose its leaves, so it's deciduous.
But aren't there some that's evergreen? I think there were like Mexican mock orange.
No, see, that's Choicea. That's the shade-loving one. We're looking at Philadelphus.
Okay, but the Choicea, you can find an evergreen mock orange if you want.
Yeah, but the fragrance is not the same.
Oh, it's not.
Totally different. There's no connection between these plants. That's why I say common names. I had to learn all the Latin names if I wanted to buy plants from the salespeople, because you can't say I want 10 mock orange. They're like, okay, well, do you want Philadelphus, Choicea, or Podospora?
Okay.
And I'm like, So
it's
that's
the Philadelphus that's the real, very perfumed
one. That's the most
one?
Fragrant, okay. Yes, that loves full sun, and it's big. But like I said, there are some varieties that are short, but they're not as fragrant as this particular Philadelphus Cora. Do we
we'll
have that Western book?
Yeah, we do. We'll look it up during the break.
Something like that. So, yeah. But they're beautiful. They're easy to grow. You don't do anything to them.
Dear Steve and Gwen, I also had a beautiful Cymbeline rose that was 15 years old and climbing over a cast iron arch, and it died last year.
Oh, no.
I believe as a prolonged result of the drought, or maybe another explanation. Heedless to say, I was very sad. I had bought it in Sebastopol. I think it was maybe Vintage Roses, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, Vintage Gardens.
Remember Vintage Gardens?
Yeah, Greg Lowry? Greg Lowry.
We had him on the show 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, wow. He had spectacular roses, and that he would have been one that would have had that Cymbeline.
Yes, he would have, yeah.
Well, that's nice that a listener shared that how beautiful that Cymbeline rose was.
Well, I have to tell everybody I have two. I did dig up two roses, but I was talking too fast, and one I have growing up over an arbor, and the other one is along the back fence, and it's just kind of sprawling, looks, you know, cascading, and looks really nice, but boy, if I could take cuttings of that thing and be successful, I would share them. But we're going to have to find a source for that rose.
For that exact one. Because there's a lot of, quote, Cymbeline-style roses you can look on the internet and find them. But it's not the one that you have here.
Yeah, and there's one that's like a pink Cymbeline, and that's pink.
No, it's not this color.
This is hard to describe the rose, but it's very pale.
Yeah,
not even pink. It's a soft mauve-y kind of color.
Yeah.
Whitish, mauve-y, off-white kind of, yeah.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We can go take calls right after this break. If you have gardening questions or gardening observations or gardening memories or anything to do with gardening, this is the place. Live radio, 636-1350. Join us in the KSRO greenhouse or shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com. We'd love to know what's going on in your yard and garden, what's doing well, what you're particularly pleased about this year with all our bountiful rain, maybe some things that are not doing so well because of all the bountiful rain, too. Share that with us and our listeners this morning.
And I want to talk about another rose, too, that I dug up out of Callaway's nursery.
Okay, she's coming clean. We'll hear more about it after this.
Sonoma County's home of Coast to Coast AM with me, George Norrie, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati Roner Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. This vision is shared by our community, and we are thankful for the tremendous support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. Check out crpusd.org to see what we have to offer. This month, we celebrate the contribution of our teachers and support staff who work hard every day to meet the needs of our students. Let's all thank them for what they do, as they have a special role in the lives of our children. As we approach the end of the school year, we congratulate all of the graduating seniors across Sonoma County. Job well done. Now let's get ready to enjoy summer. Cotati Roner Park Unified School District, learning for a lifetime, committed to the future.
It's coming, a spectacle for the whole family. The 27th annual Sonoma County Hot Air Balloon Classic, Saturday and Sunday, June 10th and 11th. Witness nearly 30 hot air balloons follow the sun into the sky. Gates open at 4:30 a.m., courtesy of Summit State Bank. Dawn Patrol is at 5, then the Blue Star Gas main launch is at 6:30. There will be food and merchandise available for purchase, a kids' play area, and tethered rides. Coffee will be available along with Lagunitas beer and a mimosa tent sponsored by Barefoot Bubbly Winery, the official bubbly of the Sonoma County Balloon Classic. More special shapes, more balloons, the biggest event yet, thanks to Garrett Ace Hardware. The sky will be a sea of color as these hot air balloons take flight Saturday and Sunday, June 10th and 11th at Kaiser Park, 700 Windsor River Road. Pre-sale tickets available at schabc.org and Copperfield's Books. The 27th Annual Sonoma County Hot Air Balloon Classic, powered by Blue Star Gas, Garrett Ace Hardware, Barefoot Bubbly, and Summit State Bank.
Strapped for cash? Need a short-term loan? Ever thought of going to a pawn shop? Not a dusty old pawn shop.
Santa Rosa Pawn.
Have extra tools, jewelry, or electronics you no longer need? A gift card that you never wanted or used? Turn them into cash. Santa Rosa Pawn is a loan, buy, and sell store with a complete line of tools, musical instruments, bicycles, and electronics. Shopping for an engagement ring or a Rolex? Don't pay jewelry store prices. Buy, sell, save at
Santa Rosa Pawn.
Open 7 days a week at the corner of Marlow and Guerneville Road.
Summer's here at the Home Depot, where right now you can get the Ego 56-volt cordless blower or trimmer. Your choice, just $149. You save $50. They both come with something unheard of at this price. High-efficiency brushless motors backed by a rock-solid 5-year warranty. That's over 250 weekends, starting with this one. Ego's 56-volt blower or trimmer, just $149. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through June 4th.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Phones are open, 636-1350. Want to talk gardening, give us a call right now, and we'll get you on the air with Gwen and Steve. Tips from listeners. Gwen, do you have any tips from listeners? We get a lot of them during the week.
I do. My mother-in-law's friend, Gail Wolf, was listening a couple weeks ago, and someone had called in wanting to know what was eating the flowers of the delphiniums. And so Gail had told me that she was sitting in her kitchen looking out the window at her beautiful garden and saw sparrows eating the flowers of her delphiniums. So she wanted me to pass that along to the listeners that, yeah, these birds like to eat everything. So
would that have been the first thing popped in your mind if someone had called and said something's eating my delphiniums? Would you have thought sparrows?
I would have thought not sparrows specifically. I would have blamed some other bird. But snails or slugs, I think, is what I thought her problem was. Uh-huh. But no, the sparrows, beware. Okay. And a funny story, remember we had Chuck and Linda Gowdy on from Sonoma talking about their, you know, home orchard.
About 60 fruit trees he tends to himself. Uh-huh.
And Linda does all the preserving and whatnot. Well, I saw her not too long ago, and she had to share the story with me. What was it, last year? They have chocolate persimmon, the variety chocolate persimmon, and they have like Fuyu and Hashiyu persimmons. Mm-hmm. Well, I think Linda said that the Fuyu persimmons had big seeds in them, and that's because Chuck said they cross-pollinated with the chocolate variety, which has big seeds. So you know what he did to prevent any more cross-pollinating for this year? He's an expert at this, and he would know more than anybody. The flowers, he cut off all the male flowers on the chocolate persimmon tree. She said there were hundreds of them, and he spent a couple days out there selectively snipping off all the male flowers of the chocolate persimmon so they could not pollinate and put the big seeds in his other persimmon varieties.
My gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
What an undertaking.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were determined not to cut into their beautiful big persimmons and have these big giant seeds in them.
That's remarkable. I had no idea that the chocolate persimmons had large seeds.
I didn't either.
Yeah, why would you even want to grow those?
Because the flavor is different. Yeah.
But having to deal with that. Well, that's a really anyone that's well, there's not many Chuck Gowdies out there. They're going to be spending two full days
laboriously. Well, remember we had somebody last week talk about their plum tree, how it had lots of fruit on it, and he wanted to do some pruning and this and that. I forgot who that was. Well, Jim Lang sent me an email saying that he spent hours thinning out his plum trees and his peaches to prevent the small fruits that would develop and from the branches from snapping off. And he gets beautiful-sized, delicious fruit, but, you know, with all this wonderful stuff that we want, it takes time. So if you want big fruit and you don't want your branches snapping, then you have to be the true gardener and get out there and do the work.
Okay.
And not sit back and whine.
And what about pruning roses? Any tips from pruning roses?
Well, don't prune back like you would for winter pruning.
Uh-huh.
Just prune back like I was mentioning.
Like grapes?
That's because we were talking about Gary Blasi. The way he prunes his grapes and he has his helpers.
No,
they all prune their grapes.
Yeah.
So he asked for some help on his tree roses and his shrub roses.
Yeah.
And I went by there one day in the winter and I'm looking at these plants going, wait a minute, I thought they were roses. They look like grapes.
So that's funny. They prune
they
them the same way they prune like the grapes.
They do. Identical.
Oh, so beautiful.
If he's listening, he's probably laughing.
Well, since we got this beautiful discussion a while back about the Cymbeline rose, you mentioned there's another rose that you liberated from the closing of, during the closing of Calloway's Nursery. Which one was that?
No, it's called Julia's Rose.
I never heard
and
of
it. And I believe
one.
It's a hybrid, and it has the most unique color. Well, I shouldn't say that. There's a lot of them out there now that have these unique colors. It's almost like a butterscotchy, brownish kind of hint of orange color in it. It's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. And I believe that rose is still available out there. Not Julia's Child. It's just called Julia's Rose.
Is there a Julia's Child too?
Yes. That I believe is a yellow one.
Oh,
and this one just had this, it's, you know, it almost looks like that, I believe it's been described as like a parchment paper.
Look
to it, butterscotchy parchment. It's just beautiful. Beautiful rose.
And that one's probably still available as far as you know.
I'm pretty positive it is.
We'll take a break. We'll come right back. More Garden Talk after this break. 636-1350 to reach us live in the KSRO greenhouse or Steve at KSRO.com. 1105 brings us into the KSRO kitchen with Chef John Ash. John will be in, as always, on Saturday at 11. We've got a pretty good show for you this morning. Well, you'll be the judge of that, of course, but I think it is going to be a good show. We will talk rhubarb and cherries with Chef John Ash. He'll have some terrific ideas of how to use all the beautiful seasonal Baltry that we are seeing in our local markets. And then John Finger will be joining us for a bit. John is the founding partner for Hog Island Oyster. They've got some exciting news about Hog Island. Then at 11:30, 35-ish, folks from the Press Democrat will be joining us to talk about the big challenge, the big North Bay Wine Challenge. The judging is all completed, and the North Coast Wine and Food Festival will be happening next Saturday, June 10th. We'll tell you a lot about that. And also, I think we're going to have some tickets to give away to that terrific event. We'll also be chatting with the grand prize winner, the best of the best show wine. We'll be tasting some of that in the studio and talking with the winemaker owner of this great, great winery. All that coming up on the Good Food Hour in just a little over a half hour.
News, talk, weather, traffic, sports. Sonoma County's News Talk 1350, FM 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Here's a health update from the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District.
It's mosquito and West Nile virus season, and the Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District wants to help you fight the bite. So be sure to report neglected swimming pools or any other areas that are producing mosquitoes. Anything that holds water for more than 5 to 7 days can produce mosquitoes. It's simple. No water means no mosquitoes. Stay healthy this summer and fight the bite by using an effective insect repellent, especially if you're out at dawn and dusk. Repellents containing DEET, oil of lemon eucalyptus, picaridin, or IR3535 are most effective.
The Marin-Sonoma Mosquito and Vector Control District is an independent special district committed to protecting public health from mosquitoes and vector-borne disease. All programs and services are funded through benefit assessments and property taxes. Services are provided to all residents in Marin and Sonoma counties at no additional charge. Learn more at msmosquito.com.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. Right now, it's time for garden starts and microgreens. They're available along with fresh veggies, healthy mixed salad greens, and hothouse tomatoes. All stone fruit is in. Peaches, cherries, and plums, and all the berries. Blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and strawberries. When choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, chicken, and freshly made sausages. Min-hee Korean cuisine is serving up her popular Korean egg rolls. Enjoy Tao's delicious falafels, and Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thanks, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
What do you think of when you think of the Salvation Army? A red kettle and a ringing bell? A uniform? A soup kitchen? Or a thrift store? The Salvation Army is all of those things, but it's so much more. For those overwhelmed by disaster, the Salvation Army is the first sign of hope, a constant presence, and the last to leave. It's a second chance for those in the grip of addiction, homelessness, and poverty, and a first chance for children who would otherwise have none. It's a weekly visit at the local retirement home, a hot meal feeding hungry souls, a bottled water for a weary firefighter. The Salvation Army's your generosity put into action for the good of the people who need it most. Visit santarosa.salvationarmy.org or call 707-542-0981 and see how, thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is doing the most good.
Pittsburgh, not Paris. That's the title of a rally now underway in the nation's capital. The participants say they support President Trump's decision to exit the Paris Climate Accord.
He's up against the biased media, so we want to let him know that we support everything and appreciate his courage.
But a number of cities and states, as well as business leaders, say they will not go along with the president. Also going on today. Demonstrations called the March for Truth. They're demanding an independent commission and congressional investigations into the actions of President Trump. The president of the Philippines says the deadly casino attack in Manila was not the work of the Islamic State group and that the gunman was, in his words, crazy. A recall of frozen tuna to tell you about. The FDA says frozen cubes and steaks packaged by Hawaii-based Hilo Fish Company could be contaminated with hepatitis A.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Sunny skies today with warm temps for the next few days. Today, high 76, 60 on the coast. Mainly clear skies tonight, low 49, 52 on the shores. Sunday is blue skies at 77, 61 in Bodega Bay. Monday, sunny and a bit warmer at 82, 65 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
It is Garden Talk live at KSRO with Steve and Gwen. And Gwen, someone just sent us a photo saying this plant has been growing for about 3 years in the ground. And it said it's never flowered before, and here it has flowered for the first time. Can you kind of, so here is an enlargement of those flowers.
So it looks like it's a long, has long arching branches with small elliptical leaves on it with these little clusters of white flowers. From what I can tell, I'll bet it's, she said the bird dropped it, something, it's a volunteer thing?
Yeah, volunteer.
It looks to me like Cotoneaster parnii, which when the birds eat the fruit off of that and they fly around, they drop their seeds, they seem to be, they pop up everywhere, almost like blackberry vines. So it's a really nice shrub. It's, is it evergreen? I can't remember. I think,
here's a close-up of the leaves, too, if you'd like to look a little closer. There's the leaves.
That does look like Cotoneaster parnii. I would leave it because it's a very nice plant. It does better with a little bit of late afternoon shade. You can dig it up in the wintertime and move it if it's in the wrong spot, but it'll make little berries in the fall, and the birds come and eat the berries, and then there you go. They poop everywhere and drop seedlings, and then they pop up.
So it's a form of Cotoneaster.
It is a Cotoneaster.
It is a Cotoneaster.
Yeah.
Okay, Judy, there's your answer. If you need more information, give us a call or email us again.
Particularly, it's parnii, P-A-R-N-Y-I-I, something like that.
Okay.
That's which one it is.
Let's head out to Guerneville. Good morning, Kathy. What can we do for you on Garden Talk? Welcome to the show. Is Kathy there? No, Kathy. Kathy, you didn't hold on.
Sure, you got to push the right button?
No, I pressed the right button. Kathy, you didn't. You need to call us back, please. 636-1350. Kathy, please call us back. We want to talk with you, Kathy. Nothing personal. Okay. 636-1350. What did you do this week in the garden, Gwen? Last week, your hands were a little in bad shape. You had weeded so much that you kind of overdid it. This week, your hands look in better shape this week.
Yeah, now it's my elbow. My elbow's sore from stabbing the ground too many times. What I do is just take the shovel and stab it in the ground, push the soil over, and that's how I dig a hole to put my plants in. So
that's easy.
I finally got the last of my 200-plus some odd pepper plants.
Yeah.
So I got them all done.
Wow.
Yes, finally.
Hot peppers?
50 different varieties, hot and sweet. Yeah.
And so, when are those going to probably be ready to harvest? 60 days or so?
I'm thinking longer than that. At the rate that they're growing, slowly but surely, it's going to be a while.
And it's been kind of cool during the days when you're having big heat flushes.
Yeah, 60 days. You think that's like June, July? Maybe 60 days. It's kind of hard to do. I always think that's such a short amount of time, but it's really not when you're talking about an annual plant.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll keep you posted.
What other vegetables do you have besides tomatoes and?
Oh, I've got everything in there.
You do? Oh, you do?
Yeah. I've got beans, broccoli, not broccoli, sorry. Beans, beets, carrots, the cucumbers. Got all the cucumbers in, all the different squashes, winter, summer, eggplants, peppers.
Did you plant your favorite cucumber?
Oh, yeah. There's probably like 30, 40 seeds or something I put. And they're going to grow up a trellis.
Mm-hmm.
Got this nice big trellis.
And people are going, what's your favorite cucumber, Gwen?
That Richmond green apple.
The Richmond green apple. We've talked about it. Talked about it a lot last year, and people were crazy for it.
The one thing I didn't get in the ground yet is my corn.
You always plant
corn. I still have to get that. Yeah, I've got to get that going.
Is that a late start for corn?
For me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I just only have so much time to get everything done.
And so nothing is suffering at this point? Everything's looking pretty well? You haven't mentioned any problems so far.
Yeah, no other trees have died since last week, luckily. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. We didn't have a lot of calls about people's trees dying.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. People have talked to me on the street about a lot of unusual, unexpected tree death.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think most of them attributed it to the excess water.
You know, maybe it's not. But, you know, if you have a heavy clay-type soil, and especially if you're trees have been in standing water for a long time, that certainly will contribute to the death of the tree, which it has mine. I know that because
you lost how many?
let's see, four peaches, the nectarine, my beautiful prune tree, two cherry trees, and a paper bark birch, I think, or river birch, mm-hmm. which you wouldn't think that would have died, but I'm pretty sure it just sat in water for too long. And even though they love water, there's a limit. So I don't know. How many trees is that?
Oh, that's a lot. It's a lot. Bob had mentioned to us, and you agreed with Bob's email comment, that instead of unsuccessful cuttings, tissue cultures could be more productive because there's companies that contract propagation. If you want to go into that depth of finding a company that does that, I don't know how many people.
For roses?
For roses, yeah.
I don't know anything about tissue culture for any plant or anything. No, because you just go to a nursery and you buy the plants. But, you know, to find an establishment, a business that would do that.
That'd be much more of a large scale.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how you take care of whatever it is that you get. You know, the little start of a plant, probably. So, yeah, that would be interesting to look into something like that.
636-1350 if you want to question. Or, you know, we could certainly mention that Kathy from Guerneville would like some information about where to find a crown of thorns. Do you have any idea where to find what is the Latin name for that?
You know? It's a euphorbia of some sort. Mm-hmm. It's pretty frost tender here, unless you're out towards the coast. I think it'll probably freeze or get some damage, like from 25 degrees and below. Mm-hmm. Put it in a container, full sun.
It's a shrub.
Not a lot of water.
Not a shrub around here?
No, unless you're in a protected area in those banana belt areas where it doesn't get too cold. Mm-hmm. But inland here, yeah, it'll get some frost damage on it. I would definitely put it in a container with good draining, like cactus mix soil, because it is a euphorbia. They don't like a lot of water. It's a really pretty plant, but it has lots of thorns on it. It has beautiful, I think, reddish...
crown of thorns.
Yeah. Yeah, reddish-looking flowers on it. Probably any of your independent nurseries would have it. And I'm pretty sure Cottage Gardens in Petaluma.
Bunker. Did you carry it at Callaway's?
Yes, we did. Yes.
So most nurseries would carry it.
Yeah, we actually... the greenhouse plant buyer was the one who was buying it through all the, you know, house plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the houseplant buyer,
so it should be available in most nurseries.
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay.
It's an unusual, cool plant.
There's your answer, Kathy. We'll take a break and be right back. 636-1350. Plenty of time to get in with a question or comment, or via email steve@ksro.com. We get to questions as quickly as possible, get you on the air, get your questions or comments answered, and then you move right along. So we don't like having to dangle people on hold, so you can be assured of that. It is Garden Talk, live at KSRO at 11:05. It's the Good Food Hour with Chef John Ash.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Laura Ingram, and I'm here weekdays 9 till noon, only on KSRO.
Hello, I'm Joyce DeFalla, the Assistant Minister at the Center for Spiritual Living, Santa Rosa. You may have heard our program, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun, a half hour of practical spiritual inspiration at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. We'd also like to invite you to visit our book and gift store, Stepping Stones Books and Gifts, where you'll find a wide range of metaphysical and spiritual books, CDs, and DVDs, as well as many gift items for the spiritually inclined. Stepping Stones Books and Gifts is open Saturday through Wednesday. Please call for our hours, 707-546-4543. That's Stepping Stones Books and Gifts at the Center for Spiritual Living, 2075 Occidental Road. You can also visit Stepping Stones online at steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. That's one word, steppingstonesbooksandgifts.org. And don't forget, Spiritual Living with Edward Filyoun at 8:30 on Sunday mornings.
Downtown is now unified with the completion of Courthouse Square. Stop in and visit the interesting personalities who contribute to the character of downtown.
Hello, this is Paul at Toad in the Hole. Come down and have some fish and chips, English pints, speckled hen, cask-conditioned ale, and some of your local brews. We're at Railroad Square, 116 Fish Street.
Hi, this is Andrea from Sif Dessert Bar for your gifting, treating, and celebrating. It's always time for dessert. Come see us on Mendocino and 5th.
Hi, this is Randy from Positively 4th Street, inviting you to check us out if you need a gift for any occasion. occasion. We have handmade gifts by local artists and fair trade from around the world.
Hi, this is Katie at Local Barrel. We're new to downtown, and we have 20 beers and 7 wines on tap and cider too. And we are right on Mendocino Avenue and Ross Street.
Pay a visit to those who work hard for you downtown, the heartbeat of Santa Rosa. See more and learn more at srcity.org/downtown.
Did you know the largest RV dealer in the North Bay is now celebrating 25 years in business, and they're right here in Petaluma? Reed's Trailer Sales on Old Redwood Highway in Petaluma has over 200 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and truck campers. Now is the time to make the best deals of the season, and Reed's will match any show deal on comparable models. Also, Reed's Trailer Sales is looking to consign your late model motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. Let our experts sell it for you. Reed's will get you top dollar and save you all the time and hassle. Or they can pay you cash on the spot. The largest RV dealer with over 25 years in business is right here in your own backyard. Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma. Call 792-9100 or on the web at reedsrv.com. Reed's Trailer Sales, now accepting consignments.
Reed's. You should buy your trailer at Reed's, a fifth-wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
Kathy is back with us from Guerneville. Welcome to Garden Talk, Kathy. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just calling because I have had a crown of thorns a number of times, but I keep killing them or Guerneville doesn't work for them. But I'm trying to find another plant, and almost nobody carries them.
That's so funny you should say that, because we didn't know whether you were going to be able to call us back, and Gwen just addressed it. And she felt that most nurseries would carry crown of thorns, didn't you, Gwen?
Yeah.
Have you looked at a lot of private nurseries, and they don't carry it?
Well, they have at one time, but now at this time of the year, they're not. And they said that their people who bring them their supplies are not giving them those right now.
Well, maybe they're not ready.
Oh.
Okay. You know, to be sold to the nurseries. But, you know, as the year progresses, you'll notice more and more plants become available. So it could be that the plants are still too small at the wholesale nurseries. Mm. But, you know, some nurseries have they take orders, too. So, you know, they have a book where, okay, you know, Kathy's looking for a crown of thorns. And, okay, the growers will say, okay, we have them. So they'll get it in for you and call you and let you know when it's in. So... you can even, I know Cottage Gardens in Petaluma has always sold that plant. So, and like I said, if it's not available at a lot of places, it could be that it's just not ready to be sold yet. So,
all right,
be patient.
All right, and I have one other question.
Uh-huh.
I bought this plant and I can't find the little stuff to tell me what it was, but it grew and it came in, became a big bush, and then it ended up producing these berries that I didn't even know that it had any kind of produce to, you know, to make. So I was afraid to taste the berry because I didn't want to poison myself. And the leaves are, and the stems are sticky. I thought maybe a blueberry, but I don't think I've ever seen a blueberry plant.
I'm not going to say anything until I see a photo of that plant.
Okay.
What color berries are they?
They're very dark. It's almost purple or black. And they're quite large. They're, less than a half inch, but more than a quarter inch.
On sticky stems, huh?
Yeah.
So grow in the sun or the shade?
They're outside in a barrel.
Could you send a nice photograph or two of this plant and the berries, and then I can tell you?
Well, the berries aren't on it now because that time has passed.
Okay.
But I can send a picture of the plant.
That would be great. If you could send a few real close-ups or best you can, just send it to steve@ksro.com.
All right, I'll do that.
We'd like and to, yeah.
I won't be here next week, but Dave Fazio will. So if anybody could identify it, he'd be able to help you out with that.
That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Okay, Kathy, send that photo.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's good. Yes. We should mention that Dave Fazio will be pinch hitting for you for the next couple Saturdays. And boy, he is really good at these type of identifications. Yeah. So folks that have missed hearing Dave, they get a chance for a couple weeks as Gwen is on a well-earned vacation for a couple weeks, her and her eyeglasses, which would be really very, very nice.
Dark, but I'm still thinking about that plant. Dark berries with sticky stems.
Yeah.
And it already set fruit.
Yeah. Could be a lot of different things, couldn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm writing my note, a note to myself.
So we need to, we certainly need to be, a couple things to think about is mulching. We need to be mulching, correct, at this point in time?
Yeah. Make sure your soil is damp before you put mulch on top of it because, you know, it's going to take, if you have drip or however you're going to water, it takes a lot of water to get through however many inches of mulch that you're putting down to get to the soil, and so you think that your watering system's been on for hours, and it hasn't even hit the soil yet.
What about instead of having to buy a whole bunch of mulch, looking maybe around the neighborhood for these tree guys and tree services that are having lots of mulch from trees that they're pruning and then...
Or trees that they've cut down and they put through the chipper and stuff? Yeah, that's an excellent way to get almost free mulch. I mean, I think if you give them a few dollars, they might go out of their way or they will go out of their way to drop it off. But you could look in the back of their truck and see what the chips look like because lots of different companies have different types of chippers. Some they just go through really fast and you'll have a lot of branches and leaves and you'll have a lot of debris that is not going to make a good mulch. So you'll want to see, you know, what the stuff looks like in the back of the truck.
Any caveats to beware of when we're purchasing?
You know, I know somebody who did get a truckload of chips from a tree service, and they were out spreading around in their garden, this and that, and then you know what happened to them a couple days later?
What?
They got poison oak. So this company was also taking poison oak. Maybe that the vines were growing up the trees. So they exposed themselves to this poison oak. So you could ask them.
Ask.
Hey, do you know if you've brought in some poison oak in these chippings? And see what they say.
And
but, you know.
That's a really great suggestion. But make sure you ask what they've been shredding recently.
Yeah.
Mulching recently. Herb gardens. Do you have an herb garden?
I do. It's incomplete. I still need to get... I've realized I don't have any sage. And I don't have any chives. So
any other unusual herbs that you would want to plant or less used herbs that you like?
Well, since you mentioned herbs, savory is not very popular.
Never.
I don't know why, but my father-in-law grows savory. There's winter and summer.
Oh.
One's a perennial and one's an annual. And of course, I can never remember which is which.
Oh.
But he would cut off a few sprigs and there's tiny leaves. It's almost like thyme. And it almost smells like thyme, but a little bit different. And he steams his green beans, and he puts that savory in with the beans, and it's really, really good.
Nice.
Savory.
You never hear of someone suggesting you plant savory. So you're going to plant some savory?
Yes.
Okay.
Savory, chives, get all your perennials in there, too. The thymes, oreganos,
here's one of
parsley.
Our things, dill.
Oh, dill. Yeah, that's an annual. Dill. But if you let it seed... A lot of times it pops up again.
Yeah,
so.
We're lucky we made borscht this week, and we thought, wait, dill.
Dill.
Ran out to the garden, snipped some dill. It made that borscht.
Yeah.
It was just wonderful. Yeah. We'll be back. You can reach us. We've got about 10 minutes left, 636-1350 for this edition of Garden Talk. Or always feel free to shoot us an email, steve@ksro.com.
I'm Stephen Curry.
Kevin Durant.
I'm Clay Thompson, and you're listening to KSRO
1350 and FM 103.5.
Playoff headquarters of Dub Nation.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted best farmers market in Sonoma County. You'll enjoy exploring all they have to offer. Right now, it's time for garden starts and microgreens. They're available along with fresh veggies, healthy mixed salad greens, and hothouse tomatoes. all stone fruit is in. Peaches, cherries, and plums, and all the berries. Blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, and strawberries. When choosing meat, discover the quality of local beef, pork, lamb, chicken, and freshly made sausages. Min-hee Korean cuisine is serving up her popular Korean egg rolls. Enjoy Tal's delicious falafels, and Anello Crab and Seafood offers the best clam chowder. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thanks, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Buying Bayer Advanced DuraZone Weed and Grass Killer?
No thanks, I always buy Roundup Extended Control.
But why? DuraZone with Ergo Grip Sprayer gives you more control, preventing new weeds up to 6 months.
Well, my label says, 4 months?
Yeah, DuraZone also covers more area, like 60% more.
You know, the more I think about it.
You're switching to DuraZone.
DuraZone Weed and Grass Killer. Get more from the blue bottle. Always read and follow label instructions. Comparison to Roundup Extended Control 1.3 gallon ready to use.
Battling bugs inside and out? Then it's time to get more from Bayer Advanced and Lowe's Home Improvement stores. Now you can buy Bayer Advanced Complete Brand Insect Killer for soil and turf and get a free bottle of Bayer Advanced Home Pest Plus Germ Killer, a $9 value. Complete works outside on your lawn, eliminating surface insects, including mosquitoes, in 24 hours and soil insects for up to 3 months. While Home Pest Plus Germ Killer handles the bugs inside your home. Lowe's and Bayer Advanced. Get more from the blue bottle. Always read and follow label instructions.
Better business through better advertising. An advertising tip for small business owners by international marketing expert Matt Hackett.
When thinking about the content of your ads, it's important to connect with your potential customers. That means knowing more about them so you can create ads that will resonate with them. A simple way to find out what's in the hearts of any group of potential customers is by using a search engine and simply typing in, "What are target customers feeling?" Remember, it's feelings that will establish the emotional connection in any of your commercials. I just searched for, "What are single mums with two kids feeling?" I got hundreds of thousands of results, stories about resources, parenting, finances, dating, all of which would help you speak to the hearts of single mums. Try searching for the car buyers, dieters, cell phone users, or remodelers that you want to attract. Once you know what's true for them, what's real, and what they're feeling, you can create ads for them that are bound to connect.
For more tips, go to ariaconnect.com. That's ariaconnect.com.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Questions about mulch. Let's go to Sarah's question first, calling from Santa Rosa, California. Good morning, Sarah. Welcome to Garden Talk. Hi.
Good morning. Good morning, Gwen.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding mulch. I don't have grass. I have weeds. If I mulch with weeds, am I just propagating more weeds?
If they've gone to seed, and you're going to cut them down, then you're just spreading those seeds everywhere, and then, yes, you're causing a big problem.
Okay.
So if you cut those weeds down before they seed, then you can keep cutting them down and leave that on the ground, and, yes, it'll act as, you know, organic matter, and it'll slowly break down, and there you go.
Okay. So, all right. That's why I haven't been mulching with my weeds, because I thought I'd just be creating more problems. But I like your idea, and I will try that.
Yeah, as long as you cut them down before they start to go to seed, then you're good to go. Some of the foxtails, though, even though you cut them down and those seed heads are green, they slowly start to turn brown. And even though they're not mature, they probably won't reproduce. But if you have dogs or cats or something walking around, those things still get hard, and then they get in up their nose and everywhere. So beware of foxtails.
Okay, I have lots of those.
You're going to have to cut those. If you see that they started growing the seed head, then you might want to rake those up and get rid of those. Because like I said, they're going to sit there, turn brown, get hard, and cause a problem for animals.
All right. Great. Thank you
okay.
so much.
All right. Nice hearing from you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a nice vacation.
Thank you.
Thanks for your
Bye.
Call, Sarah. Dear Steve and Gwen, I have a Meyer lemon tree. It is in the ground. It is surrounded by mulch around the shrub. I've noticed that a lot of the leaves are turning yellow. Why would that possibly be?
My guess is going to be it didn't like all the rain that we got, and it's probably in a clay kind of soil, so it's holding on to the water for too long. And so something's going on with the root system.
It's not like a lack of nutrients.
No.
No. That's what the first thing people think it needs.
Yeah. No. No. You could get a small trowel or a pitch, like one of those, what do you call those? Not a pitchfork. Like a pitchfork. That spiked tool, the spade.
Yeah.
Forked spade.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say. A forked spade and just kind of break up that soil a bit. Go down about 6 to 8 inches and see how wet or dry the soil is, and just break it up a bit so some of that added additional water will get out of there. It'll evaporate away a bit.
Move the mulch away?
Yeah, get rid of the mulch. Yes, good thing. Get rid of the mulch. Move that away because you need that soil to dry out somewhat, but not the top of the soil. You have to get it has to start to dry out 6 to 8 inches, if not deeper, into the soil. And then time will tell.
So the roots can be drowning.
They were drowning.
They were drowning.
And so now they're trying to revive, and the plant's got a 50-50 chance of making it or not, depending on how much of the root system has rotted. Grab hold of the trunk of the plant and see if it rocks back and forth in the ground. If it does, then you know it's dangling by a thread, and it might not make it. But
it should not move at all?
No, plants shouldn't move.
Okay.
No. But time will tell. Don't be too hasty in pulling it out or anything. Just, wait a couple more, another month or so, and see if it recuperates, if it regenerates, or that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Yeah. But no fertilizers, and
that's
watch the
question.
Watering. Don't
good
fertilize
question.
It. If the root system's already stressed, you're going to give it nitrogen and stuff and probably burn up whatever's in there and cause it to die quickly.
And we only have about a minute left, but another question is this a good time to plant dahlias?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, get out there and good draining soil, lots of organic matter mixed in, and put them in full sun. Watch the watering because they're tubers. They
aren't
don't
they like I've always considered them snail and slug magnets.
Well, for you, but not but not for everybody. Some varieties are prone to powdery mildew.
Yeah.
So if you can get some varieties that are more resistant, they're beautiful.
Do you have tubers? Do you have dahlias planted?
Just a few.
What colors do you have?
Red and a red and white one.
Okay. So it's a good time to do that.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your vacation.
Okay. Thank you.
Come back.
Okay, thank you.
2 weeks. Dave Fazio will be here next couple Saturdays.
Okay.
Always be good to catch up with Dave and what's going on out at Sonoma Mission Gardens out in Sonoma. So that'll be a lot of fun.
He comes in here all the time. I haven't seen him for years. So you tell him I said hi or I have to go visit him at the nursery.
That's right. You need to go out there to Sonoma Mission Gardens. If people don't know, it's the hands down most beautiful nursery up here in Northern California.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. I talked to someone that lived about a half mile from Cornerstone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They'd never heard of Sonoma Mission Gardens.
And that's because they don't get out.
I said, you're 5 minutes from Sonoma Mission Gardens if you're out at Cornerstone. So they promised that they would go check
it out. Are they a gardener? They might not be a gardener. So
maybe that's it. Coming up next in the KS Arto Kitchen, Chef John Ash. Thanks, Gwen. We'll see you in 3 weeks.
Okay, Steve.
Okay.